WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Well, hi, guys. Hi, everybody. It's Trevor Loudon here with Enemies Within. Thanks again for the great introduction, Brannon. I'm sure you do it fresh every day, but it's good. So, I just saw Ivan Raiklin talking about battling commies 23 hours, 59 minutes. Well, he's really slacking. He really has to give up that last minute to battling commies. It's too much, far too much. 60 seconds a day, not battling commies is just too self-indulgent. And I hope people pass this message on to Ivan. Well, today I want to talk a bit about Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Antifa has been back on the news lately. But before we get into that, the usual pitch, support the show. We're going to go places you've never seen before in this show. I'm going to have guests on that you've never seen before and hear about things that you hadn't maybe even considered in the unfolding world communist revolution. So to support the show, get my books, White House Reds about the communist background of Biden, security risk senators, showing the communist backgrounds of John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock and Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin and Mrs. Nice Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota and Mark Kelly from Arizona and Kirsten Sinema from Arizona, etc. Go to trevorloudon.com and you'll also find the great movie there, Enemies Within the Church, which will rock your socks off. So, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Well, we saw Antifa erupt again over the weekend in Atlanta. There's been a protest ongoing for a while. The police in Atlanta want to build a police training school in an area. So the local Antifa types, anarchists, communists, Marxists, have been camping out in this area trying to stop them. And this erupted into violence. Well, it's erupted into violence several times. But tragically, the other night, one of the Antifa guys shot a policeman in the leg. And when the police returned fire, this young gentleman died. And so this is all over the left-wing media. This is terrible. The police murdered this man. They forget to mention that he shot first. That's sort of become irrelevant. And so they went on a rampage on Saturday night in downtown Atlanta and caused all sorts of mayhem, all sorts of damage. And it seems like the authorities in Georgia are going to crack down a little bit harder than we've seen on some of the Antifa groups in the past. And I hope that is the case. And I hope lots of people are apprehended and severely punished for what they've done and what they continue to do. But so what is Antifa? Well, it's short for anti-fascist. Well, what is a fascist? Anybody who likes Trump, anybody who believes in borders, anybody who believes in the Constitution, anybody doesn't want their kids indoctrinated by perverts, anyone who believes in a safe, secure, nice, prosperous America, that's pretty much a fascist. That's pretty much probably everybody watching the show. But what are the origins of Antifa? Well, it really started in the 30s in Germany. Now, in the 1930s, you had a real ferment on the streets of Berlin and Munich and Stuttgart and all these big German cities because the KPD, the Communist Party Deutschland, the German Communist Party was getting very big and very powerful. It was taking over unions. It was battling in the streets. It was really threatening really threatening to take over Germany. And they'd almost done that in just after World War One. So the Germans were very, very skittery about this. And so Hitler rose in this milieu, you know, and one of his big promises was, we will stop communism. We will fight the communists. So Hitler had his black shirts, his fascist troops. And what fascism really is a socialist system that where big business and big unions and big government all work together against the middle class. That's what real fascism is. It's a form of socialism that incorporates big business. Modern communist China is a sort of a fascist system. So it's totalitarian, it's top down, all the big organizations join together and you're just part of a machine. That's fascism. Hitler brought a racial element into it, an anti-Semitic element, but that's not necessary to have fascism. Mussolini was a fascist. He wasn't anti-Semitic. He didn't persecute the Jews in Italy, etc. The Nazis did, but not the Italian fascists. Quite a few Jews joined the Italian fascists. And remember, Mussolini was the editor of the Italian Socialist Party's newspaper before he became a fascist. In the 1930s, it was common from the left to regard fascism, both in Nazi Germany and Italy, as part of the left. It was always part of the left. It was always a socialist movement. It was only after World War II started, when the Nazis went after the attacked the Soviet Union, it was only then that Stalin started calling the fascists right-wingers, because he wanted to use the taint of fascism against American conservatives. So the Nazis and the fascists switched from being left-wingers, which they were, the German National Socialist Party, Nazism, to becoming so-called right-wingers. And that was solely so they could put the Nazi label on to American and European conservatives, as they did when President Trump was in power all of the time. And they're now doing it to the people of Ukraine. So you had this ferment going on in Nazi Germany, Nazi Germany. The Nazis had taken over in 1933. They were consolidating their power and they were fighting battles on the streets. The black shirts of the Nazis, the brown shirts of the Nazis, I mean, were fighting the anti-fascist militant wings of the German Communist Party. Antifa, anti-fascists, were the military street fighting wing of the German Communist Party. That's what they were. Everybody knew that. So you had these big battles going on. You'd have Antifa fighting the Nazis on the streets. Bottles were thrown, rocks were thrown, heads were broken, riots were caused, windows were smashed. It was very violent for a long time. But eventually, the Nazis got the upper hand and they started beating down. They started arresting a lot of communists, put them into concentration camps. They started to win the battles against Antifa. And a lot of the Antifa people actually gave up and joined the Nazi Party, joined the ranks of the Nazi Party. They used to call them beefsteak Nazis because they were red in the middle, communists, but they were brown on the outside. A lot of Nazis were ex-communists. There was a real, flow between the two. You know, Hitler admired Stalin. Stalin admired Hitler. Only later did the Nazis and the communists fall out. You know, they were fighting in the streets in the 30s in Germany because Hitler wanted complete power. But he wasn't so much against the communists. He just wanted the monopoly on power. He didn't disagree with them so much. He just wanted his gang to be in power. It was like two mafia gangs fighting each other. One had to come out on top. And when one came out on top, the troops of the vanquished side joined the winners. The Antifa people had no problems joining up with the Nazi Party. So you saw this again in the 1970s in Britain, when you had the Socialist Workers' Party, a big Trotskyist party in Britain, getting very active. They did the anti-poll tax marches under Thatcher's Britain. They were doing big anti-nuclear marches and that kind of thing, and big anti-racism marches. And you had the British National Party and other organizations fighting them, sort of semi-fascist British organizations fighting the Socialist Workers' Party on the streets. And then you had the birth of a sort of a type of Antifa then. Young guys getting out, dressed in masks, fighting on the streets, beating people up, throwing bottles, attacking the cops, all the kind of things we see now. We saw another big surge, this is real Antifa again, when the Germany became free in the early 90s, when East Germany joined in with West Germany. You had a lot of East German kids who had been brought up under communism became Nazis. And they used to parade around skinheads and wearing swastikas and this kind of thing. So the German left, the German communists, the German anarchists started putting on their black masks, their leather jackets, the Antifa uniform and the anti-fascist symbol that they have, and started battling these East German Nazis on the streets of Germany. Then you saw it again with the Black Bloc of about 2000 in America, when the big riots happened in Seattle because the World Trade Organization was meeting in Seattle. So they called it the Battle of Seattle because all these communist groups and anarchist groups came into Seattle and caused mayhem. And that was another, this Black Bloc was another iteration of Antifa. But in the modern era, we really started to see this again probably about 10, 15 years ago. You started to see little anti-fascist groups springing up all around the country, mainly based on the anarchist community. Now, I've got to clarify here what anarchists are. There are two kinds of anarchists. There are people who, sort of libertarians, who say, we don't want any government. We don't want any government at all. We're anarchists. No government. Right? That's one form of anarchists, and that's very much the minority faction. The other kind of anarchists are the communists who just want to go straight to the classless society without building socialism first. They don't want a ministry of this and a ministry of that. They don't want a big military. They don't want a big machinery of the state. They just want to bust down capitalism and live in a communal communist state. That's the Mexican Zapatistas. That's their philosophy. Why a lot of American anarchists supported the Mexican Zapatista rebellion in the early 2000s. So these anarchists are really the basis of Antifa. They are communists who can't be bothered building socialism. They don't want to build up factories. They don't want to, you know, run state industries. They don't want to run education systems. They just want to burn down capitalism and live together, and just they believe they can live together in harmony, and somebody will feed them and somebody will clothe them and somebody will house them. They don't know who, but of course somebody will. That's what they believe. So those are the left-wing anarchists, and that's the basis of Antifa. So what Antifa is really this disparate. It's not one organization so much. The FBI is sort of right about that. They don't have too much of a structure, though the groups are in contact with each other. But local anarchist groups will put on the masks, put on the leather jackets, and fly the flags when necessary. They will also be joined by people from Communist Party USA, people from Democratic Socialists of America. Democratic Socialists of America has a libertarian socialist wing. A lot of those are Antifa people. And so Antifa is like a franchise. It's like a bat, you know, it's masks, it's black uniforms, it's flags, it's throwing bricks, it's breaking windows, It's fighting conservatives or Trump supporters or whatever, but it's not a disciplined top-down movement like the Communist Party. It's a local franchise of anarchists and communists who will get together when necessary to do the work. They do training. They do training in lots of training on weapons use. A lot of them, there's a group in America all over the country called the Sam Brown Rifle Club. Now, that's a left-wing rifle group, and they believe in the Second Amendment. They are out there training every weekend with guns to shoot us, to shoot normal Americans when the time comes. And a lot of that overlaps with Antifa as well. So you saw guns being used in Atlanta. You saw explosives being used. There is a lot of training going. There's military experience. I had a black bloc friend from Austin, Texas. He went after the hurricane in New Orleans in 2005, which wrecked that place. A lot of anarchists went into Atlanta. They wanted to build this new anarchist community. Wanted to build this new anarchist community. And a couple of these guys went down to Venezuela to meet with Hugo Chavez. And Hugo Chavez wanted these anarchists to go and set up guerrilla groups in the swamps of Louisiana, which would mount armed raids against the U.S. military, police stations, etc., to start a revolution in the swamps of Louisiana. My friend wisely declined that offer because he knew how long he would last if he tried that game. And now he's a conservative, thankfully. So Antifa is, if you see it in San Francisco, it'll be some people from DSA, some Democratic Socialist America, maybe a few communists, maybe a few Maoists, and mainly anarchists. And they will be given funding by the local union movement, because all the union movements are controlled by communists now. And they'll be protected by the local Democratic Party establishment. Why is Antifa strongest in all the Democratic Party strongholds like Atlanta, like Washington, D.C., like San Francisco, like Los Angeles, like Seattle? Because that's where the Democrats hold the reins of power. That's where the sheriff's department are controlled by the Democratic Party. And so the sheriffs just turn a blind eye, the police stand down, Antifa goes in a rampage, beats people up, stabs people, breaks windows, burns police cars, creates havoc, and most of the time they just walk home, get some McDonald's on the way home and go home to sleep and do it all again the next day. You know, this is Antifa are the military wing of the Democratic Party. That's what they are. Now, Black Lives Matter. A lot of people conflate the two. Black Lives Matter is a front group for Liberation Road. That used to be called the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. It's a pro-Maoist, pro-China Communist Party. It is completely behind Black Lives Matter. Where you see Black Lives Matter, that's Liberation Road in action. Other groups get involved, Democratic Socialists of America, Communist Party USA, but the backbone of Black Lives Matter is Liberation Road. Now, this started in 2013, I believe, or 2012, 2013, when a young man was killed in Florida. What was his name? I've forgotten, it's Trayvon Martin, was killed in Florida by a Hispanic security guard. And so Black Lives Matter came into existence very quickly. It was started as a hashtag, Black Lives Matter. It was started by three young women, Patrice Kaluz, Opal Tometi, and Alicia Garza. And it was just organic, right? It just started. And they thought of this hashtag and they tweeted it out, and it just took this organic life all of its own. Complete garbage. I've looked at those early tweets, and who retweeted them? It was all Liberation Road communists. They kept it going. Alicia Garza, or Patrice Couleurs, was very heavily involved with Liberation Road. She was mentored by a man called Eric Mann, a former weatherman, a former member of the League of Revolutionary Struggle, a Maoist group, and very closely connected to Liberation Road. Opal Tometi was also connected to Liberation Road front groups, and Alicia Garza is a member of Left Roots, which is a Liberation Road subgroup. And so this was all completely planned. This myth that it spontaneously arose is just that. It's a myth. So they started off the hashtag. Groups started springing up here and there. Black Lives Matter Minneapolis and Black Lives Matter Los Angeles and Black Lives Matter New York. And some of them did come out of other groups. You know, they saw the name and they sort of got on the bandwagon. But the backbone of Black Lives Matter was always Liberation Road. Now, in San Francisco, there's an organization called the Chinese Progressive Association. And it's like a big acorn. It works in Chinatown in San Francisco. It handles the voter registration. It handles the get out the vote. And it basically dominates the city through its power in Chinatown. You cannot get elected in San Francisco unless you have the nod of the Chinese Progressive Association. And it works completely for Communist China. This was young Maoists, set up by young Maoists in 1972. Maoists from Ai Wor Kuen, the League of Revolutionary Struggle, Red Guard Party, set this organization up, and it's worked for Communist China ever since. Chinatown in San Francisco used to be very pro-Taiwan. Now it's all pro-China. The communists have taken over, and that was largely done through the Chinese Progressive Association. Well, Alicia Garza, the founder of Black Lives Matter, the real backbone of it, was involved with the Chinese Progressive Association. She, her best friend was a young man called Alex Tom. They were student radicals together at UC San Diego in the early 90s. Alex Tom became the head of the Chinese Progressive Association. Alex Tom started a second group. It was called Asians for Black Lives. Asians for Black Lives wrote the manual for Black Lives Matter. It introduced the Black Lives Matter people to these networks all around the country, the radical Vietnamese networks, the radical Laotian networks, the radical Cambodian networks. It paved the way for Black Lives Matter. When Ferguson, Missouri was burning in 2014, several people from the Chinese Progressive Association were actually in China at the time. And when Ferguson started burning, these were people from Left Roots, Liberation Road. They went to Ferguson and helped out the rioting, straight from China. Now, the person, the group that led the protests at Ferguson was a group called the Organization for Black Struggle, which is led by Jamala Rogers, who's a leading member of Liberation Road. That was all that rioting that was done in Ferguson was orchestrated by Liberation Road, Black Lives Matter. Absolutely. And they brought 10,000 people from out of the city into Ferguson and to St. Louis to burn that area down. 10,000 of them. They boast about that. So come straight from China, straight to the riots. The whole thing was set up by the Chinese Progressive Association, which is completely dependent on China. I have tapes of Alex Tom boasting, the man who set up Asians for Black Lives, the man who mentored and has funded Alicia Garza, boasting about his deep ties to the Chinese Communist Party, about his visits to Communist China, his relationship with the CCP, his relationship with underground activists in China, and also how he runs his messaging past the Chinese consulate before he does anything. So these are the two main radical violent groups in America right now, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Antifa is part of an international network of anarchist groups. They have connections to groups in Syria, in Turkey, in Latin America, and in Europe. And you'll see Antifa people actually mingling with terrorists in Europe, in Latin America. Black Lives Matter has connections to, obviously, the Chinese Communist Party, but also the Vietnamese Communist Party, which is very active in this country, and most people have no idea of this. Also, they're very tight with a group called the Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung. It's a strange name. Rosa Luxemburg was a German revolutionary communist. The Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung is an organization that operates all over the world. Stiftung means foundation in German. They have a branch in Manhattan, they have a branch in Moscow, branch in Berlin, branch in Beijing, branch in Hanoi, all over the place. And they are funded by the German taxpayer, and they're run by a German political party called Die Linke, the left, Die Linke. It used to be called the Party for Democratic Socialism. Before that, it was called the German Socialist Unity Party. That was the former East German Communist Party, you know, that used to shoot people jumping the Berlin Wall. That was the most Stalinist state in Europe. That Die Linke political party is a direct descendant of the East German Communist Party, and they fund a foundation in Manhattan which trains Black Lives Matter activists and also works very closely with Democratic Socialists of America. You know, Bernie Sanders' friends, you know, Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Jerry Nadler, the head of the Judiciary Committee. So, and Black Lives Matter also has deep ties to Palestinian radicals. They made a couple of trips there in 2015, were dancing in Jerusalem on the streets with genuine Palestinian Marxist-Leninist radicals. So Black Lives Matter has international communist ties. Antifa has international anarchist ties and has deep ties to the Democratic Party, the labor union movement, and the communist movement in America. Now, I've told you more than the FBI seems to know about these people. I could have given the FBI a list of 100 Black Lives Matter leaders, and they could have shut the whole thing down in a couple of days. I could have given them a briefing on Antifa and how to find out their leaders and how to check them out. But the FBI is unfortunately more interested in chasing patriots who are naive enough to be led into the Capitol building to take a few selfies. The big insurrectionists, the genuine insurrectionists, the people who actually burn stuff and throw bricks at the cops and actually shoot police, they are pretty much unmolested by the FBI and similar groups. And there's a reason for that, because the FBI has been co-opted by the left. They're effectively the investigative arm of the Democratic Party, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter are both the violent wings of the Democratic Party. So the investigative body of the Democratic Party is not going to be investigating the military arm of the Democratic Party anytime soon. That's why when we get a real conservative president in office again, we have to do full investigations of these groups, find out their leaders, find out their foreign connections, and start prosecuting them like we would in a more sane time. We need to treat them like we once treated the Weather Underground, track them down, prosecute them, and if found guilty, put them in jail for very, very long periods of time. I hope you don't think that's too extreme at all. But anyway, so please stay tuned to Enemies Within. We're going to have some interviews coming up. Go to my website, trevorlowden.com. Get my books. If you're in a war, you need to know your enemy. And I can tell you that better than most. And stay tuned to this show. Brandon's been gracious to give us a spot, and I intend to use it to the maximum. So thanks for watching. Thanks for supporting Enemies Within. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Brandon.